Hi, I'm Jared Smith. My mobs were Rajaru, Daly and Peaches, and they're from out western New South Wales, and I play drums in Dispossessed.
No fixed address. We have survived. Poignant as hell, especially at this time of year. When did you first come across No Fixed Address?
My Nan and Pop had a really big record collection.
Nice.
And they were... No Fixed Address was actually in that collection. I can't remember what happened to it now, but like, I think that the first time I heard that track was when my pop put it on, and I just thought this was really good. And you know, it's something that's always stuck with me. And I think over the last 5 years, that song sort of had a very transformative sort of meaning. Instead of turning from like this song that I've always known, and like, you know, it's a lovely song, and, you know, it's a great track, but like, it's just sort of turned into like this, you know, we have survived, like the meaning is just, it's, you know, the meaning of the song, I think I've just sort of just grasped more so in the last couple of years.
Yeah, right. So
it was actually a great song.
So this is something that obviously your family brought to your attention. It was music, and was political music something that featured heavily when you were growing up?
I think with my Nan and Pop a little bit more so, but like, it was more just a, I don't know, it just felt more like appreciation of music, more so than anything. And I think, you know, from a young age, like my Nan and Pop had one of the old like road organs, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, they had one of those things, and I always used to play on that, and, you know, but I think it's just, music for me was always about like appreciation, and I think it's taken my own sort of like journey to realize that, like, you know, music is more than just appreciation. It's more than subjective enjoyment, you know?
So do you think that kind of eye-opening process with No Fixed Address became more apparent as you started making music with Dispossessed?
No, it was definitely before. I think it started when I the first Indigenous artist that I used to play with, and I'm still playing with, is Krista Powers, and I think it started then, because like everything we do is very sort of like Indigenous, sort of centered, and like, you know, we just identify as like playing Indigenous music, and now we play blues and roots and everything, but like, you know, Krista sings in. She sings in her native language, Nyampa? Yeah. She sings in Nyampa, and like, yeah, and I think a few songs, but like, it's more, I think it started then that I started sort of like just realizing all this stuff. I think I've always known the meaning behind some songs like Treaty, but like more so like We Have Survived took a little bit more of that trend, I guess, that journey, in a sense. But, yeah.
So moving from No Fixed Address... No Fixed Address, they were active for quite a while, especially for, a while without a label, just kind of experimenting with reggae and working on their sound. And their, political messages, and they were often branded like too radical by record labels. It's right. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, that rings a bell. I know that feeling.
That's like, do you think about that parallel when like the same things happen to bands like, you know, Dispossessed? Really, most bands who want to be political and talk about things that are not widely talked about, especially within a really hierarchical, highly structured music industry in Australia. Do you think that anything has changed from the days of No Fixed Address to the days of Dispossessed if you want to be a political artist in Australia?
No, I don't think it's changed very much. I mean, you know, there's a few things have changed, technology and a few, like, little things here and there, but it's just... Nothing really has changed, and especially the attitude towards political music. I mean, people have always said to me that, like, you know, well, you guys are really radical, and, you know, it's very divisive, your message, your politics is very divisive, and it's just like, you know, nothing, you know, nothing we do is really divisive, you know. Yeah, I don't think anything has changed, really.
I mean, the thing that when I look back at bands who were making music in the pre-internet era, I always wonder what the impact of that would have had. Like, what would have No Fixed Address had, like, how much more reach could they have had if they had, a Facebook page or the ability to kind of put out their own music? And, you know, in a way, the internet has kind of leapfrogged a lot of the power that labels have, because you can self-release in a much easier capacity.
I think they would have been a lot bigger, definitely.
Mm. They still did a pretty damn good job for, like,
they did.
Every hurdle that they were up against touring internationally.
Yeah, they did.
But moving to more modern times, Jeffrey Gurumul Unipingu, the track that you have chosen is Bapa.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you play in another band, and there are songs in language there, and also Dispossessed have songs in language.
Yep, they do.
What do you make of the success of someone who is singing in language and just, like, not really having to brand themselves or kind of mold themselves into, like, a music industry type of figure?
I think, yeah, that is definitely a sign of progress. Although it's a little bit, like, disheartening when, like, an artist like Gurumul, and, like, I go looking for, like, his music and, like, I don't know, I've seen it on iTunes, like, one time, and, like, you know, you look for it, and you see him, and then genre, like, world music, and it's just like, yeah, that's great, you know?
Right.
Like, well, I mean, that's great in, like, a sarcastic manner, when really his music is, you know, it's beautiful music, but, like, and it is successful, you know, very much so. It's just, you know, it's a little bit disheartening when you see it cast outside of that spectrum. But I guess genres are really just labels. But that said, you know, yeah, I think the success is, like, you know, it's really good to all, especially to see artists always singing in language and not conforming to, like, standard, like, English, you know, or, you know, it is great to see that.
It's almost like with, you know, the whole trying to categorize someone like Gurumul, even Gaura, who also sings in language, that the music industry is just almost not set up for something like that.
I guess genres are dumb, but, like, you know, and I, for one, I'm like, you know, I want to break genres down, which is why the music that we do is so very, you know, diverse. You know, we don't just like this, you know. I know we as a band, like, we just appreciate so much different sorts of music and whatnot. But it's very disheartening to see it, like, cast outside of that, like, spectrum of what is acceptably Western music. And it's just, like, you know, it's insulting almost, you know. It's very degrading to, like, oh, Western, you know, world music. And it's just like, oh, because it's not in English, that makes it world music.
So I guess, like, what we were talking about with the music industry and it being set up to accept certain types of indigenous music, and I'm doing that in quotation marks, do you think there's a certain element of tokenism in the industry when, you know, like, a media outlet is, like, planning their programs around, you know, NAIDOC Week, Invasion Day and things like that? Do you think the way that things are set up in the music industry lends itself to tokenism when people are trying to promote indigenous artists?
Oh, yes, it does.
Mm.
I guess just to make themselves look good, you know, like, look what we're doing. We're helping out indigenous artists. And, you know, it's like, we always stand for this, you know, sovereignty and effacitas. And it's just like, that's for 1 week only.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week, they won't have any of that. You know, it's a simple thing that they could just stop doing it in 1 week and just, you know, do it all the time, you know, but it is very tokenistic, you know.
So this interview is probably going to go to air next week or the week after, but at the moment I've seen that Dispossessed are doing some workshops around whiteness and solidarity, and this kind of grassroots work seems like the exact antidote to tokenism in most forms. But was this kind of community work and grassroots, like building, was it what you set out to do as a band, or is it just kind of something that has happened along with the music?
I think it's something, it's a bit of both, really. I think, I remember a while ago, we were up in Brisbane, and we were doing the same sort of workshops up there about breaking down whiteness, and like, you know, just breaking down white fragility, especially, and like, white privilege. I remember we were doing it up there, and we were part of the workshops up there. Yeah, it's something that, like, it's something that we've engaged in as a band. And we've sort of, like, it's not something that we've started doing. It's something that we've, like, done as a band, but it's, like, something, like, it's not something that we started doing as a band.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we've sort of, like, come in and, like, started doing it, like, in with community.
Right.
Yeah, so it's, like, especially as a collective.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. It's, yeah, so it's a bit of both there.
Last thing. Favorite moment on stage?
Favorite moment on stage. I can't pick one. I think we've had so many in the last, like, couple of months. Well, probably the last, like, month or two, I guess. I think, my favorite most recent one is we played at Project 107 in Redfern, and we didn't play on the stage. We played in the middle of the space. And we played, like, all facing each other in, like, a circle.
Wow.
And it was sort of interesting to play like that. And, like, we had the screen up behind us doing what it was doing, and, like, just having, like, images of, like, events and, like, mob and just things that had happened. And, like, it was just sort of interesting to play in the middle of the space like that. And I think that's something that's definitely stuck with us. But I think playing at the Tote was also another great moment.
The Warriors of Aboriginal Resistance benefit?
Yep. The benefit for war.
Mm.
And that was a great show. And very hot inside there, but it was very...
Thank you heaps, Jared. Nice to chat.
Nice to talk to you. See you.